Hello and welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. On this podcast, we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, the election interference case against President Donald Trump and others has been dismissed. A new study details the risk of sea level rise to Georgia's coast. And ahead of the final series of Stranger Things, an Airbnb in Fayetteville gives guests a unique and immersive experience tied to the popular series.
I mean, ultimately, it's them that get excited about the property and they love to visit. And, you know, we hope to do a lot of cool stuff over the next coming years.
Today is Wednesday, November 26th, the day before Thanksgiving. I'm Orlando Montoya, and this is Georgia Today. Georgia prosecutor Pete Scandalakis is dropping the state's election interference case against President Donald Trump and other defendants. In a court filing this morning, Scandalakis said he did not find clear evidence that there was a viable conspiracy to overturn the results of the 2020 election. Georgia State University law professor Anthony Michael Kreis says momentum was against the case, and he isn't surprised by the decision.
I think this is really fundamentally a gut check about whether you believe the president of the United States tried to overturn the 2020 election or not.
Trump and 18 co-defendants were indicted in 2023, but the case was plagued by challenges, including the removal of Fulton County District Attorney Fonnie Willis as prosecutor. With the charges dropped, a judge quickly dismissed the case today, ending a multi-year saga and the last effort to prosecute Trump for his efforts to overturn his 2020 election loss. Atlanta's Fulton County is preparing for the 2026 point-in-time or PIT count of unhoused people. GPB's Amanda Andrews reports leaders of the county's Continuum of Care, or COC, are looking for volunteers to help.
The COC includes local officials and service providers. They use the PIT count to identify service gaps in Fulton County. This year, they identified 241 individuals who were unsheltered, which was a decrease from 2024. But they say challenges, including weather, likely caused an undercount. Maggie Goldman leads the effort. She says this time, they're considering running an additional survey.
It appears that the point-in-time count data does not stay with us directly to act on, and we'd like to make sure that the people that we touch are able to get some kind of follow-up through either a coordinated entry or another available group.
The Fulton County PIT count takes place January 22nd and 23rd. Volunteers can sign up online. For GPB News, I'm Amanda Andrews.
A Georgia foster care advocacy group held a Thanksgiving dinner last week for young adults who recently aged out of the foster care system. GPB's Sarah Kellis has that story.
At the Fostering Success Act dinner, former foster children ages 18 to 26 enjoyed a sit-down dinner with waiters and heard from Jackson Health CEO Rick Jackson, who is a former foster child himself. Fostering Success Act Executive Director Heidi Carr says the dinner helped attendees learn life skills that may have been otherwise hard for them to practice.
Just all the things that many of us really, maybe we weren't sat down and taught, but we got to witness through how our parents interact with others.
Fostering Success Act is a nonprofit that provides resources to youth that have aged out of the foster care system and helps them access jobs, housing, and college scholarships. For GPB News, I'm Sarah Kallis.
Political and religious leaders are mourning the death of one of the most politically influential black ministers in Georgia for many years. From 2016 to 2024, African Methodist Episcopal Bishop Reginald Jackson presided over more than 400 Georgia congregations before moving to a new post serving the church in the Washington, D.C. area. His family announced his unexpected death in a social media post today. Over the years, Jackson organized boycotts and rallies for progressive causes, supported Democratic candidates, and pushed church members to vote, as well as leading various religious and educational institutions. Words of condolence poured in today from Georgia Democrats, including U.S. Senators Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff, and Atlanta Congresswoman Nikema Williams. Bishop Reginald Jackson was 71 years old. A new study published in the journal Nature Communications details the risks of sea level rise to industrial facilities, including those on Georgia's coast. GPB's Chase McGee has more.
Researchers found around 12 industrial, production, and defense facilities in coastal Georgia at risk of flooding by 2050 in its best-case scenario, including sites in Savannah and Brunswick. Dr. Sakobi Wilson is a professor of environmental health at the University of Maryland School of Public Health. He outlines the risks these industrial and production sites can pose should they be flooded.
You have both short-term effects to chemical and microbial contaminants in the floodwaters, and also long-term effects in flood. And let me not forget mold, of course. So for those going back after the event could be exposed to mold that could also have respiratory effects.
The study recommends better disaster planning and mitigation strategies to reduce the risk of harm posed to people. For GPB News, I'm Chase McGee.
State transportation officials have awarded $24 million in federal funding to expand Georgia's network of charging stations for electric vehicles. The State Department of Transportation last week announced 6 winning bidders for 26 new stations on interstates and highways across Georgia. This was the second round of funding from the 2021 Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, a priority during the Joe Biden administration. The Netflix original series Stranger Things is back today for its final season. It's a milestone for both fans and Georgia's entertainment industry. The show features now iconic locations across the state. GPB's Sophie Gratis takes us to one of them.
A flickering 80s-style TV welcomes you to the Airbnb in suburban Fayetteville, the actual home of characters Joyce, Jonathan, and Will Byers from Stranger Things. Guests can play Dungeons and Dragons.
I don't know how to play.
Painted on the wall, an alphabet lined by rainbow Christmas lights. Twisted vines in a red-lit hallway mimic the upside down from the show. In a bedroom on the left, there's a record player, teed up with canon music from the TV show, like this song by Kate Bush.
You know, for me, it's like going in and listening to some records in Jonathan's room. That's my favorite part.
Alejandro Choza is a real estate investor who bought the Byers home in 2022. He says it took over a year to style, but since then, thousands of fans have bought shares to own a piece of the property. Choza hopes they and other guests will keep the house busy long after the series finale.
I mean, ultimately, it's them that get excited about the property, and they love to visit, and you know, we hope to do a lot of cool stuff over the next coming years.
The Byers house is currently booked through April of next year. For GPB News, I'm Sophie Gratis.
Jet fuel maker LanzaJet has begun commercial-scale production of sustainable aviation fuel from ethanol at its facility in Middle Georgia's Trutland County. The company this month said the milestone was the world's first non-oil-based renewable jet fuel compatible with today's aircraft and the culmination of 15 years of research and development. Federal aviation officials hope the production becomes a model for a new wave of sustainable aviation fuel, or SAF. LanzaJet and Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport shared more than $3 million in Federal Aviation Administration grants announced last year to help deploy SAF. Federal workplace safety officials have fined 3 companies nearly $27,000 for violations that contributed to the death of a worker at the Hyundai vehicle plant in southeast Georgia. The worker died in a gruesome forklift incident days before the plant's grand opening in March. Tomorrow, families all over Georgia will gather to celebrate Thanksgiving. At most of those tables, someone will say grace over the meal. There are probably as many ways to bless the food on a Southern table as there are Southerners waiting to eat it. We asked Salvation South editor Chuck Reese for his thoughts on table blessings.
When Thanksgiving is coming, I often think about my friend Ann Byrne, who is a food writer based in Nashville. Many years ago, Ann and I had a conversation about table blessings. sins. And we talked about the various ways we had heard people say grace around our tables. I asked Anne to write about that, and later that year, as Thanksgiving rolled around, I published a beautiful story she wrote called Our Ways of Saying Grace. For that piece, Anne spent, and I quote from her story here, several months talking to religious leaders, folklorists, teachers, friends, and families all over the South. I learned that the blessing of food on the Southern table, saying grace, is alive and well. But like our world, it has changed. I'm sure it is still changing, particularly when political issues have become so divisive in our country. This time of year, it is easy to find stories in newspapers and magazines about people who ban the discussion of politics around the Thanksgiving table, or people who refuse to celebrate the holiday with this family member or that one because of their political beliefs. So, what can unite us this year? There are bound to be things we can all be thankful for. First, I think there is the table itself and the people who gather around it. In her story, Anne quoted the late Nashville journalist John Edgerton, a couple of sentences from his landmark book, Southern Food. Family life often revolved around the kitchen and the dining table. Prayers were said at the table, important decisions were made, and the principle of family unity was repeatedly reinforced there. And second, there is the food that will sit on our tables. Whether your Thanksgiving dinner will be a grand feast for an extended family of a couple dozen folks or a more meager meal, the chance to nourish one's body for one more day of life must always be a source of gratitude. Third, there is that phrase that's so common among Southern table blessings, and the hands that prepared it. Somebody once told me a story about a gathering of friends around a takeout meal, to-go barbecue that was bought from a chain that has locations all over the South. And the person who volunteered to say grace ended the prayer this way: bless this food and the hands that prepared it, Sonny's. Even when the cook isn't someone in your own family, blessing the hands that prepared it is never a bad idea. And those three pieces, I think, make a fine recipe for a table blessing in times like these. We're grateful for the chance to gather at this table, and for the food that sits upon it, and for the people who work to prepare it. I hope your Thanksgiving dinner is free of conflict. Better yet, I hope it's delicious. Come see us anytime at SalvationSouth.com.
And that's it for today's edition of Georgia Today. We'll be taking off the rest of the week for the Thanksgiving holiday, and we'll be back with more Georgia news on Monday. If you'd like to learn more about these stories, visit gpb.org/news. We'd love it if you hit subscribe to this podcast. That helps you to stay current with us in your feed. If you have feedback for us, email us at georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Orlando Montoya, thankful for you being here, and thankful for all that Thanksgiving pie we're going to enjoy tomorrow. Have a happy Turkey Day, and enjoy the rest of the week.